Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now we have a returning guest. His name is Jarrett Stepman. He writes for Heritage, the Heritage Foundation. DailySignal.com is where you can read his stuff. Recently, he wrote an article called The Left's War Against Prosperity in Seattle, and we're going to unpack that. Jarrett, thank you so much for joining us again.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on the show.
Sure. And so tell us about Seattle, which, by the way, is certainly the home to some amazing companies, very innovative companies in our country. I mean, Amazon, Starbucks, Microsoft, Boeing, these are huge companies. But what's going on in Seattle politics?
Well, it really is quite amazing. I mean, Seattle in some ways has very much boomed in the last 10 years because, of course, of the increase in the tech industry and other very large companies. And it is a very, very pleasant place to live. It has a great location. It has a port. It is really well located. But I think what's going on in Seattle, they had this major issue recently where the city council decided to put what was called a head tax on jobs to stop homelessness in the city, which, of course, is kind of interesting when you're taxing jobs to solve the issue of homelessness, which ultimately puts about a $250 head tax on every employee in a company making over $20 million a year. So this is a pretty dramatic move by the city council, which voted on this proposal 9-0, actually. And so this is basically going to go into law in the city and shows how Seattle, which has actually had an increase in revenue dramatically in the last 10 years and a dramatic sharp increase in spending as well, continues to want more and more. And I think what it shows is that Seattle, the city government there, which has not spent very well, has not solved the issue of homelessness, even though they spend $17,000 a year approximately on this issue per person, they haven't solved the issue and continue to demand more money from taxpayers.
Wait. $17,000 per person is spent by the city of Seattle, if you break it all down and average it all out. I mean, if each of those persons were cut a check of $17,000 at the start of the year, they would be infinitely better off than however that money is somehow broken down. I'm sure of it.
Well, absolutely, and that's that may be part of the problem is that the city itself has spent more money on homelessness and has gotten more homelessness. It hasn't actually solved the issue. And another problem with this, the so-called head tax, which many are saying that is supposed to solve the problem of homelessness, a lot of these funds are not set for homelessness specifically. They're set to go to the general fund, which draws the criticism that the people of the city have been promised that increasing taxes will fix this homelessness problem, when really it just goes to the growth and the size of government in the city. There's been an increase in number of workers in the city and an increase in expenses. I mean, really, the increase in spending has gone up dramatically in the last few years, and I think the people there are seeing very little results from this, and I think there's definitely going to be a blowback from even a city that's very left-wing in its politics. I think there are a lot of people that are not happy with what's going on there, and this doesn't just include the big companies like Amazon and Starbucks, which may be thinking about a new home pretty soon if they continue to be really squeezed like this.
You know, going back to that $17,000, if you, this is just an estimate I'm asking for, but if you have any idea what the actual amount of goods or services or even cash would be given to the homeless per year of that $17,000, do you have any idea? Because, by the way, I know in the example of San Francisco, they were saying about 5 years ago that each homeless person that's on their some sort of registry gets about $500 a month. Now, of course, that's not enough to live on, but it attracts all these homeless people. So now you go there and they've got homeless people all over the place in the streets of San Francisco. So it's almost like they're subsidizing more homelessness.
Well, that's unfortunately the problem. And in cities like Seattle and San Francisco, there is a common thread there. I mean, you can't just the problem of homelessness is not just a financial problem. I think that's the way some of these cities think about it. They think if we just spend more money, the homelessness will go away. If we just give people money, this will stop. And for a lot of those who are out on the street and they have these problems there, those aren't the crux of their problems. And I think that's, you know, sometimes some of the problem with a particularly generous welfare state is, of course, we want to help the homeless. We don't want people to be left out in the street. But a lot of their problems are not just directly proportional to how much the city is willing to spend to stop it. And unfortunately, when we've seen an increase in spending in some cities like Seattle, we've seen just at the same time an sure. increase in the amount of homelessness. And that's just a terrible thing for everybody.
Yeah, and it only makes sense, though, too. I mean, if you were in that scenario, or I was, and, you know, hey, I hear that in Seattle they give you a stipend, and so, you know, boom. But do you have any idea how to answer my question in terms of about $17,000, how much of that actually ends up helping homeless people in terms of actual dollars, goods, or services? Any even remote idea, or is that too much for me to ask?
Some of it goes to, of course, some of the healthcare costs and some of the, of course, hospital expenses that are used to deal with the homelessness. So it's not just a dollar amount that they certainly don't just give the homeless a check at the beginning of the year and say, right. Well, here you go, here's $17,000, to spend on whatever you want. So it really goes into total costs of each person. The city itself spends about $190 million a year on homelessness in particular, and that
wow.
is just based on how many people are actually, which shows you that
just that one city
problem.
Yeah, just that one city of Seattle. Okay, now Seattle, about 2 or 3 years ago, they adopted a policy that we're going to say in this city, the minimum wage goes up to $15 per hour. And I remember reading about the after effects of that. Even within a few months, some of the restaurants that had been in business for years had to close their doors because they just couldn't afford to pay the bills. You know, it's almost like profit is evil to some of these liberal lawmakers. They don't realize the profit is needed to help keep the businesses competitive.
Well, and they are squeezing people out, too. I mean, that really those policies that, again, the intention is to help low-income people, when in the end it actually hurt low-income people, because the worst thing is to be with no job whatsoever, which is what happened. There was a major study taking place there in Seattle that showed that it hurt low-income people the most. I mean, how is a minimum wage increase supposed to be such a good thing when a lot of these restaurants, they simply don't hire people, and they simply yeah. decide to save costs elsewhere? You know, this is a real problem. It shows that in a lot of places like Seattle, like San Francisco, unfortunately, there's been a huge squeeze out of what I would say is the middle class in the city. I mean, for a lot of reasons. I mean, we've had an increase in expenses. The cost of housing has gone up dramatically because of the restrictions on housing. There's all these taxes that are placed on businesses that, of course, go to the customers. And, you know, even when you tax these very, very big businesses, people have to understand that a lot of small businesses also do business with the big businesses. So it really hurts everybody when you have these exorbitant taxes, when you have an incredible increase in the size of government, and you have policies that make things incredibly expensive for the average person to thrive. So you have a situation where you have massive subsidized poverty, and only the very, very rich who are even able to afford to live in such a place. And I think that's a bad thing for everybody. I think that's ultimately going to damage cities like Seattle and San Francisco and others that have pursued this model.
All right, going back to what you had said earlier about the imposing a head tax of about $250 per person, per company, where they're making over $20 million a year. Okay, I'm sure they would push back and say, wait a minute, $250 per person when it's, a company that's $20 million a year. I mean, surely Amazon can fork over this, or Starbucks. They sell a lot of coffee. You know, what is that? Whereas this helps the needy and the poor, supposedly. Your comments?
Well, right. Right, but of course, what has to be understood too, and this is included with all the other taxes that a lot of these companies are paying as well. I mean, Seattle, just after this event, decided that it wants to raise property taxes significantly in the city as well. So when you combine this tax, which, you know, Microsoft and Amazon, they employ a huge number of people. I mean, they have practically an army of people who work for these companies. That shows a significant amount of loss. And if you are a big company like an Amazon, you look around, you say, you know, there are some other cities that would really like the business. They would really yep. like to have an Amazon come. I know Phoenix has sent ambassadors to try to attract the Amazon to Phoenix and other big businesses in Seattle. So there are other cities saying, you know, we're not going to shake you down. We're going to make things affordable here. We're going to make it better, a better business environment. And you have these big companies that say, look around and say, you know, maybe we're going to plant our stakes somewhere else. Which I think is going to increasingly happen as there are better environments for these companies to plant stakes. And, of course, when that happens, all the revenue goes away.
Yeah, good point. All right, we're talking right now with Jared Stepan in your article about Seattle and the left's war against prosperity in that city. You quote an Amazon person that says this, quote, "While we have resumed construction, we remain very apprehensive about the future created by the council's hostile approach and rhetoric toward larger businesses, which forces us to question our growth here." I'll bet you if Amazon pulled out completely out of Seattle, that would be a huge blow to that city's revenue and economy.
Well, it would be enormous, and it would also spook away a lot of other big businesses that may think about going to Seattle. And this, I think this has created something interesting because, of course, when they said that they would be, you know, hesitant to do business there, some labor groups suggested that under certain laws, this be considered a threat against politicians in Seattle and considered a felony, liable to arrest, which, you know, does also, it goes to show that, you know, a lot of companies have reason to be fearful of the policies in the city. Of course, the same labor groups don't understand also that if that can constitute a threat against politicians, so would, for instance, a labor strike as well. So the problem is they're creating an inhospitable environment there for businesses to set themselves up, and they look elsewhere. I think that's just natural. And, you know, all those jobs that they've brought in the last 10 years, I mean, that prosperity, that money, you know, that's all going to go away when they look around and say, you know, we don't want to take this anymore. We'll go somewhere else where people are a little bit more accommodating to the business and don't want to tax prosperity.
You know, by the way, I don't want to sound like a fan of Amazon in the sense that, you know, there are different reports I've read where it sounds like a lot of the Amazon workers are not paid well, or maybe that's more the delivery type people. And all of this, from my point of view, and I'm trying to come at things from a biblical perspective. In the book of James, which is in the New Testament, he talks about, you know, woe to those employers who don't pay the proper wages to their employees. Now, you know, this is something already agreed upon, and this is something that's being withheld from them. So that's on a different level. But, you know, there is a sense of righteous indignation against injustice when true wages are being withheld. But on the other hand, if you work for Amazon and this is what you signed up for, knowing in advance that that's what you had agreed to, that's a different scenario, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's some misunderstanding, too, if people think that this will only apply to, say, for instance, people working in high-tech jobs who are already making huge salaries. I mean, some of the groups that were protesting this were a group of construction workers who just happened to work for a large construction company that did business in Seattle. They showed up at one of these meetings and, you know, chanting no head tax. So the idea that this is just hurting the very, very wealthy or those who are making very high incomes is just not true. There are a lot of companies that are kind of on the edge of the line of being larger businesses that are harmed even more than gigantic companies like Amazon. And as I said, even small companies that maybe don't, you know, make so much money as an Amazon, they get hurt too, because a lot of those expenses get passed on to them as well, and it makes it more difficult for them to pay their employees. So it really has a trickle-down effect where, you know, one bad policy leads to another, and you have a lot of businesses leaving, you have a slowdown environment, and that's certainly not good for prosperity, it's not good for job growth, and, you know, to a certain extent, you know, if the problem of homelessness that, you know, which is where all this began, is ultimately not going to be solved by simply taxing those jobs and making it harder for companies to hire and bring in more people and bring in more prosperity and wealth to the city.
All right. Very well said. Jared Stepan, thanks so much for joining us, Jared. DailySignal.com for more information. Appreciate it, Jared. Always a pleasure.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
All right. Bye-bye now.